Our scripture reading is from Ruth. It's chapter 2. Last week we dealt with Ruth chapter 1. We saw the disobedience of Elimelech and Ruth and their departure from the land of promise, not trusting God's providential chastisement, but seeking to go instead to receive blessing from Chemosh and Asherah, the fertility gods. And then God chastises them more severely yet. And in the end of the book, Naomi returns without her husband and sons, but returns with Ruth, who makes a confession of faith that Naomi's God was going to be her God. Now, chapter 2. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem, and he greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about you, about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they have finished harvesting all the grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. and she lived with her mother-in-law. May God bless to us the reading of his holy word. Dear people of God, called to be saints, again, we saw last week that because of a lack of faith in the Lord's providential care, Naomi's family had immigrated to Moab, ignoring the covenant promises that if they would serve God, they would know his blessing, but if they turned away from him, they would experience curse. They should have known this because they were under a curse. They were under a famine. So they should have understood this principle. But they went to Moab, and they experienced more severely the chastisement of the Lord. Elimelech and her two sons die within 10 years. When she hears that the Lord has visited his people again with bread, she returns herself to the Lord's care. She had left the care of the Lord full, seeking rest apart from him, but found emptiness and sorrow. And now she returns to Israel, throwing herself upon the mercy of God, as it is revealed in the law. She understands something. She understands that she has forfeited her right to an inheritance in the kingdom. She understood that she would be regarded as the alien and the orphan. Naomi had learned a beautiful thing, really. Because of the Lord's chastisement, she had come to realize that a little with the Lord is better than plenty apart from him, something that we are taught in the Proverbs. Here she is again seeking mercy from the God of Israel. And Ruth, throwing her lot in with Naomi, she too has come to the faith that a little in the service of the Lord is better than much apart from him. Ruth also is throwing herself on God's mercy. The fact that they are throwing themselves upon the Lord's mercy is seen in their activity. They don't expect the Lord to simply dump food in their lap. They don't have an entitlement mentality at all. They understood that God in his law had provided for them, saying that orphans and aliens and widows were to be protected and cared for within the boundaries of Israel, by any and by all. Just because these people had no possession in Israel, no inheritance, unless they were redeemed according to the provisions of the law, it did not mean you could just trample all over them, that you could treat them as you wanted. You couldn't abuse them. They were to be shown mercy. They were to be treated fairly and justly. More than that, they were to be provided for. The Israelites were to show this kind of mercy and compassion because God himself had shown such mercy and compassion to them. They were to remember the day when they themselves had been slaves, had been homeless in Egypt, and how he had showed them mercy. And the Lord in his law instructed care for them, demonstrating to all that the Lord is full of compassion to all who throw themselves upon him in faith. Just so you know clearly, a few references to the law that demonstrate this. In Leviticus 19, we read, When you gather the harvest of your land, you are not to harvest to the very end of the field. You are not to gather the gleanings of the harvest. You are neither to strip your vine bare, nor to collect the fruit that has fallen in your vineyard. You must leave them for the poor and the stranger. It's Leviticus 19:9 and following. That is echoed in the second repeating of the law in Deuteronomy 24. When reaping your field, if you have overlooked a sheaf in the field, do not go back for it. Leave it for the stranger, the orphan, the widow, so that Yahweh your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, you must not go over the branches twice. Let anything be left for the stranger, the orphan, the widow. When you harvest your vineyard, you must not pick it over a second time. Let anything be left for the stranger, orphan, the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Again, Deuteronomy 24:19. And you read those laws, and they're impressive. But they do a couple of things. First, they remind the people that the land that they are now possessing, the land that they are now harvesting, is not theirs to do with as they see fit. It is actually the Lord's, and they are but stewards, and God can instruct them in his ways. It also reminded them of the days when they were without, you'd say, home, food, or family. They even lost family in Egypt. They were slaves. In other words, these laws are reminding Israel of the salvation God has shown to them when they were the homeless, when they were the orphan. It is commanded them, and then the third place, to treat strangers, orphans, and widows with love and mercy and concern, because that is God's example to them. And fourth, these laws demonstrated that food is something that comes from the Lord. Every harvest is a sign that God gives food, and it is a period of rejoicing because of God's great abundance for his people. And those who were the outcasts of society within the boundaries of the promised land were to experience this bountiful providence of the Lord. They were not to be excluded. This meant anybody who come from other countries, the widows and the orphans. Everyone within the boundaries of the land of promise was to share in the bountiful mercy of the Lord. And it is with this kind of understanding that Ruth and Naomi put their trust in the Lord. I wonder what it was like for Ruth to know that there was that kind of concern for her in the law of God, that is, in God himself. Here's a God who actually cares for the outcast. That's a gracious, that's a compassionate God. Neither were Ruth and Naomi naive. They understood that not everybody within the boundaries of the Old Testament church, not everybody within the boundaries of Israel, not all who confess the Lord keep the law of the Lord. You've got to remember, this was in the days of the judges. And what's the phrase we know about the days of the judges? Everybody does what is right in their own eyes. So there was a bit of understanding there. They're not naive. And that comes to expression in the chapter. When Naomi advises Ruth, don't go somewhere else, you could be harmed. But Ruth goes out according to the law, hoping that she will find somebody who will look upon her with favor according to the law. Again, it could be risky. You could be treated harshly or molested by those who forgot that once they had been slaves in the land of Egypt. Several generations had passed by since God had brought them into the land of promise. And you know what happens after a few years of owning or being in a particular land? We start taking blessings for granted. And the result is that you find that people don't always show mercy as they had been shown mercy. Now it turns out that Ruth ends up in the field of Boaz, a considerate man who also happens to be a relative of Ruth's father-in-law. Those words, as it turns out, are kind of cool, because it simply is telling us that Ruth is just at random picking a field. She doesn't know about Ruth. But as it turns out, she's ending up in... she doesn't know Boaz, but as it turns out, she ends up in his field. As it turns out, is also something that would indicate to us this is by God's providence. We saw that last week, God's providence in... Even though they went to the land of Moab, he was going to accomplish his purposes. And God here is still accomplishing those redemptive purposes. And as it turns out, in God's providential care, it so happens that she ends up in the field of Boaz. The providence of God is absolutely amazing. We don't always see the way he works, and yet he is working. Boaz is evidently a God-fearing man. In his relationship to his workers, you see that he greets them with the Lord's blessings, and the workers respond with that greeting. And not to do that, of course, would have been an indication that covenant provisions were of very little value to them. Now, it's possible, of course, that it's just routine. You know how it's easy for us to say, you meet somebody on the street and, how you doing? And nobody's expecting a reaction. It's just one of those phrases you say. And if you would actually say, really rotten, look at you with surprise. Well, it probably could have been the same way for them when they would say to each other, Shalom. That just became a phrase. But the indication is by his choice of words that that's not the case with him. He means it when he says, the Lord be with you. Today, many of us don't usually express such piety in our conversations and daily activities. And sometimes when you hear people doing it, you wonder, are they sincere or are they just putting on a front? I guess we're always a little skeptical. Boaz is not afraid to demonstrate piety, and his greeting is not just a show. And that becomes evident when he immediately becomes concerned about someone who's not used to seeing in his field. He sees this stranger. And then when he understands that this stranger is the Moabitess, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, he has particular concern. He has a particular concern to show mercy. He immediately makes arrangements with the men and with Ruth herself about how she can stay with his reapers until the harvest is done. And he provides for her protection, and he provides her with water. Boaz goes beyond the provisions of the law. His actions, however, are entirely in keeping with the law. He shows mercy to the alien. In this case, the alien and the widow. He's concerned that she might know the mercy of God. And Ruth is immediately aware that he is showing her kindness beyond what is absolutely required. She asks why she, a Moabite, a stranger, an alien, found such favor in his sight. And Boaz's answer reveals that what's taking place here is not just a romantic attraction to a foreign lady. It's not just a story of two people who have fallen in love at first sight. It's a story of people's submission to God as revealed in his law. And how in such submission, God grants blessing and fullness of life. And we just have to look at the way Boaz answers to see this. He shows kindness because for Naomi's sake, she had forsaken her homeland, her family, her faith, her religion. No, it's actually not everything he says. It's not just for Naomi's sake. Boaz recognized that in Ruth, in her action, in what she was doing, it was a faith commitment. Her action displayed that she was going to live by the law, that she wanted to be an Israelite, a proselyte, a child of the Lord. Boaz here is impressed by how Ruth is throwing herself upon God's mercy. As Abraham said, and as Christ calls all men to do, she had left everything to come under the Lord's provision. And that's what Boaz means when he hopes, when he says that he hopes she will be rewarded richly by the Lord, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And that's a key sentence in what Boaz is saying. By coming to Bethlehem looking for mercy, she had taken refuge in the Lord. Just as much as when Elimelech had forsaken the land of promise, he had forsaken the Lord's mercy, provisions, and chastisement. Boaz saw that Ruth was making a step of faith by coming from Moab into Israel. And here in this field, she is following the requirements of the law, providing for herself and for her mother-in-law. It's an indication of a simple faith, and it impressed Boaz and made him show kindness to Ruth. His treatment of Ruth reflects what Christ says many years later. I tell you solemnly, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, children, or land for my sake or for the sake of the gospel who will not be repaid 100 times over houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, not without persecution, now in this present time and in the life to come, eternal life. There's an understanding in Boaz's actions that it is when you give yourself to the Lord, when you forsake everything to follow the Lord in his ways, that the Lord's blessings will come upon you. The actions of Ruth remind us of Psalm 17. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who have taken refuge in you from all their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Or Psalm 36. I call on you, how priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. And then Psalm 57. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Ruth would not have known those psalms. They came later. But she's living by the spirit of them because the spirit of that is taught in the law of God. And so here are Boaz and Ruth both acting in accordance with the character of God as that is revealed in the law. The word directed her, and she fled into the arms of the Lord for help in time of need. And with Ruth's dedication to the Lord, a great change takes place for both Naomi and Ruth. Although Ruth is a Moabite, and Israelites were not to seek the friendship or the welfare of a Moabite because of what they had done to Israel in the wilderness, here, rich blessing is poured out upon her because she forsook her Moabite past and is seeking refuge in the God of the universe. And Boaz saw, therefore, in Ruth not simply a foreigner, not simply a Moabite, but a child of God, living in strong faith, forsaking everything to live under the protection of Yahweh's wings. Her choice for the Lord and his people supersedes her whole past and gives her a whole new identity. Isn't that precisely what the message we are to give to the people of this world who are living in sin, who are living unrepentant? And that is, if they forsake their way and they throw themselves upon God's mercy, he will receive them and he will bless them with life abundant. We say that to any sinner who comes in here, don't we? They're all welcome. For in the Lord there is abundant mercy. We understand this. In Christ, we are new creations. You don't know everything I've done. Thankfully. And I don't know everything you've done. Thankfully. But it doesn't matter. In Christ, we are new creations. In Christ, you see, when we put our trust in him, the background falls into our past falls into the background. And we have a whole new identity. I've used this illustration before of a man who had struggled with homosexuality until he came upon the understanding of that phrase, in Christ we are new creations. And that was the secret to his overcoming his struggle. You see, he understood he had always been identifying himself according to his sin. And he had to identify himself according to his Savior. And we have to do the same thing with each other and with others who come in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This principle is something that Boaz realizes. And so he showers her loyalty, her faith, with kindness and blessing. And that must have been an encouragement for Ruth. It certainly was for Naomi. Again, understand what a huge step it is for somebody who's outside of the church and whom the church condemns We can use the illustration we just had about somebody who struggles with homosexuality. Can you imagine what kind of a huge step that is for them to come and confess here? Would we receive them and show them mercy? It was a large step for Ruth. A Moabite, somebody who's to be kept out of the assembly of the Lord, it's a huge step for her to seek a place among the people of God by faith in God. She was probably much afraid as she went out the first mornings. Yet she experiences God's blessing. Ruth's kindness to Boaz's kindness to Ruth goes deeper. Again, not because of a romantic attraction. There's no indication here of a romantic attraction. And if that was there, it would have been stated. The Bible is not afraid about romantic attractions. Only mention is made of the fact that she is seeking refuge under the wings of the Lord. That's what's highlighted. And this is the action that is required of all. Remember what Jesus said when he was looking at Jerusalem before his crucifixion and he was crying? How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. God simply wants to gather his own in under his protection, his care. And we have to take note of God's abundant mercy demonstrated in his ways, in his word. We have to see how he actually provides for the outcasts, for those in need. Even this person who was by law cut off from the assembly of Israel. The Lord gathers her to himself, granting her great blessing. Naomi at once sees that the Lord has shown great mercy. When she learns that it's Boaz, she gets all excited. She who had come home empty and hopeless suddenly finds a reason for joy and hope. You say, well, what is there in the mention of Boaz's name that made her so excited? It's also emphasized at the beginning of the chapter and later in the chapter. This man is a relative. The nearest relative, or the second nearest relative, actually, to Elimelech. And she understands the principle of redemption, the potential of redemption. If he's related, there is the possibility that they could come back in and be part of the kingdom. Remember how Naomi had encouraged Ruth to go back because there was no hope for her in Israel? Remarriage was out. She couldn't provide any more children. The law, what the law exactly stated, there was no hope for Ruth. Now suddenly she understands something about Boaz. Boaz is a man who respects the law. Not just the letter of the law, but the whole spirit of the law. He understands what the law is doing in showing the merciful character of the sovereign God. And just maybe with a man like that, he would be the redeemer they needed. You know the law. The law said that if a man dies, leaves a wife childless, then his brother was to take her as wife, and the first child would inherit the land of the dead man. The land was the Lord's. Possession of the land showed that you were part of the kingdom of the Lord. That was important. Now, a brother could deny this widow, this duty of his, but not without public rebuke and scorn. To refuse such a task was tantamount to excluding someone from God's mercy. The law required the brother to redeem the land and restore it to the family. And the purpose, again, was so that someone's name would not be erased from Israel. Remember, they were living in a time that was still looking forward to the Christ. They lived with the hope that the Messiah, that the Christ would come soon, and they wanted their names on the rolls, on the books, so to speak, so that their descendants would be counted among God's people. They would be part of the kingdom of the Christ. Because if their names weren't there, they would simply be considered similar to the heathens whose names would be wiped off the face of the earth. And this refusal to continue the inheritance or the name of the family would be considered the same as sending them away from the blessing of salvation. It's in a sense what people would say today, go to hell. That's the equivalent of it. Naomi, therefore, is excited. In her and Ruth's trusting the Lord's protection, she finds the hope of sharing in the redemption that was to come for Israel. She understands Boaz is not a brother-in-law, not bound by law in that sense to act as a kinsman redeemer, but because he was this man who lived by the spirit of the law, she got excited. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord would continue to bless. And she begins to plot. You say sometimes older ladies and widows can do matchmaking. Well, she's going to do her share of matchmaking in the next chapter. But just maybe, you see, wasn't just matchmaking for her. Just maybe they could be reinstated in the inheritance of the kingdom. That's what Naomi explains to Ruth. That man's a kinsman redeemer. So last week we saw that apart from the Lord, one finds emptiness and death. And we saw that through failures, our failures, God yet can accomplish his redemptive purposes and raise up from such wayward people, even the Christ himself. Now we see blessing coming by submission to God's ways. They took refuge under the wings of the Lord, and the Lord blessed them. When we give ourselves to the Lord, when we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ by faith and we live the way he says in his word, then he blesses. Faith expressed in obedient submission to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, results in marvelous blessings and the fellowship of his people. It will be explained more fully in the book, but we have to understand something. This book really isn't about Ruth, and it's not really about Boaz. It's really about the fact that God has given us a kinsman redeemer. Boaz is a type of someone whom God is going to provide in Jesus Christ, a descendant of Ruth's great-grandchild. Jesus is a kinsman redeemer who is not ashamed to call us brothers. He came, he kept all the requirements of the law for us, and through him we are taken as his bride, bearing children unto the Lord. We believe in him, and we are saved. No one who calls on the name of the Lord will be put to shame. Doesn't matter what the sin, doesn't matter what the nationality. No one who calls on the name of the Lord will be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to understand something. We are really like Ruth, the Moabite, who has no right to a place in the kingdom. We, through our own disobedience, have strayed. We have gone our own way. In fact, we sang it earlier. We're still prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. And every day again, we throw ourselves upon the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And we discover something in doing so. He indeed then directs us, and he makes our paths straight. He leads us in the way of life and gives us a place in his kingdom. May God grant you the grace to find refuge in him and to enjoy the blessing of life full and abundant in his kingdom. Understand, under Christ, in his refuge, is life and love and mercy and rest. Amen.